Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Please speak to us from your word, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, have you ever heard the phrase, just do it? We all have. In fact, years ago, Nike made that phrase famous. They, in fact, made a fortune on that phrase, just do it. And I guess what they mean is, you know, whatever it is you enjoy doing in the arena of recreation or sports, just do it. Because we have, Nike said, we have everything you need to just go do it. We have the clothing that you need so that you can do it. We have the t-shirts and the fitness wear and all that you'll ever need so that you as an individual can just go out and do it. And the strange thing is, people heard that slogan and they said to themselves, hey, you know, maybe I can do it. So they buy the shoes and they buy the sweats and they find themselves the little headband with a little swoosh on it so that they can go out there and do it. And a few of them actually did it, right? They, you know, ran the marathons. A few of them entered those triathlons. They rode the bikes. They swam the rivers. They climbed up the mountains. They even jumped out of airplanes, hiked trails, played golf. But listen, most folks just don't do it, right? So all that gear, all those fancy slogans didn't inspire them to do anything but to spend their money on pricey accessories. And now their expensive gear grows moss in the garage. And you know something? In a way, preaching is a lot like writing slogans for clothing companies. See, preachers stand up in front of people and they say to the congregation, just do it. Just live for Jesus. Be all you can be for Christ. Just get up and get going for God. And a few people, they hear those slogans, or should I say those sermons, and they buy into the message and they do it. They start winning souls. They start living the victorious Christian life. They become dedicated soldiers of the cross. But I'm afraid, though, that there's some who likewise buy the message. They listen to the sermon and they think to themselves, what great advice this is, and I really want to do that. They decide to be all they can be, but when it comes right down to it, they don't do it. It's like that tennis racket or those golf clubs that they fully intended to use, like those jogging shoes that they bought that are collecting dust. Some people hear sermons about going for God and they just don't do it. But I want you to know it doesn't have to be that way. In fact, again, Paul wrote, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That text was written by a man who bought the whole store. I mean, Paul, he heard the message of Christ. He said, that's who I want to be. And Paul went out and did it. And now in this passage in Galatians 2, he tells us exactly how we too can do it as well. See, the Lord wants all of us as believers to walk like Jesus walked. Amen? He wants us to live like Jesus lived, to speak like our Savior spoke every day. So Paul tells us here in this text how we can do just that, how we can live for Christ and be committed to Christ and serve Christ wholeheartedly. See, Paul wants us to know that we can just go do it if we'll sell out to Christ. And in verse 20, the Apostle Paul tells us exactly how we can do that. He tells us how we can live for Jesus in the victorious Christian life. And first of all, he tells us that our position in Christ enables us to go do it. Let me say that again. Our position in Jesus Christ enables us to live the victorious Christian life. And notice very carefully what he said. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And notice, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know what he was saying there? I am living the victorious Christian life. And by the way, Paul wasn't bragging. He was simply stating a fact. But Paul was saying, I'm living this Christian life. And he tells us, I'm living the life of a Christian. In fact, he said, Christ lives in me. You know what he meant by that? He meant the day that he accepted Christ as his Savior, God's Holy Spirit took up residence in Paul's life. And by the way, in our day and time, the moment we get saved, God's Holy Spirit lives in our life also. And because he does, he can give us the grace to live this life as a Christian. But let me ask you a question today. Have you become a Christian? Somebody said, preacher, I was born a Christian. But I got to tell you, that's not really so. See, the fact is, we were all born sinners, not Christians. In fact, David wrote in Psalm 51:5 that I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He was saying, hey, I was born a sinner. And listen, please, you, like me, like David, like everyone else, were born a sinner as well. And the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But I'm so thankful that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for sinners, aren't you? See, God commendeth his love toward us, the Bible says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, it says in Romans 5:8. And listen, Jesus died for your sins also. And although the wages of sin is death, it says in Romans 6:23, it goes on to say that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And listen, please, the God of heaven offers you a free gift of eternal life. And listen, that is the gift of spending eternity with Christ one day, and it is absolutely free. You don't have to do anything to earn it because Jesus paid for it. All you need do is to accept it by faith. And at the conclusion of our service this morning, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do just that. I truly hope you'll trust Christ as your Savior. But let me also say that Paul was living the life of a church planter as well as the life of a Christian. See, Paul planted some 20 churches in his lifetime. That's a lot of churches. In fact, in Asia alone, he started churches in Ephesus and in Smyrna. He planted churches in Pergamos and in Thyatira and in Sardis and in Philadelphia and in Colossae and in Hierapolis. And if you consider the fact that he was saved at about 30 years old and then he died when he was about 60 years old, Paul must have been a busy fellow to start that many churches. That's a lot of work. And let me say, starting a church is no small task. It takes diligence and dedication and determination to start a church. It takes time and often tears to do that. And if Paul started 20 of them, man, he must have been working his heart out, going from place to place and witnessing and winning souls to Christ and discipling those that were saved and bringing people together, working day and night, and scarcely taking time off. Man, that's a lot of work. In fact, it takes a lot of... In fact, I've started 2 churches in my lifetime in 30 years, so I can't imagine how busy Paul must have been to have started 20 in only 30 years also. But you might be asking yourself or thinking to yourself, I could never do that. I could never go out and do what he did. I could never be that dedicated. Man, Paul must have been a super Christian. But I'm not, you might say. But can I tell you something today? Paul wasn't a super Christian. Paul was an ordinary man who trusted in an extraordinary Messiah. And as an ordinary man trusting in Jesus, he obeyed Christ's mandate for his life. In fact, on the day he got saved, as recorded in Acts 9, verse 15, God said about Paul that he's a chosen vessel unto me, and he shall bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And you know what? Paul took that message to heart. He began to evangelize the Gentile world. He even evangelized in Caesar's household as well as among the Jews. Paul went out and just did it. And listen, please, if an ordinary guy like Paul could just go do it, so can we. we can. If an ordinary man like Paul could be faithful and true to God and could live for Jesus every day, if he could just do it, we can too. But not only was Paul a church planter, but at the same time too, he was likewise a scripture composer. In fact, we know that Paul wrote at least 13 books of the New Testament, if not 14 books. Some of his books were written from prison. Others were written with a broken heart. Some were written out of joy in his heart. But Paul spent all that time providing doctrine for us to live by and encouraging us and influencing us. And I'm just trying to get you to see that Paul lived a faithful Christian life for God. He did. Paul determined to make an impact and determined to continue influencing believers his whole life long. He did. Again, you might think to yourself, you know, preacher, I know a guy like Michael Jordan could buy all that Nike gear and could go out and become the best basketball player the world has ever seen. But, Pastor, I could never do that. That's probably true. Most of us don't have what Michael Jordan had. He was extraordinary for sure. And you might say, I know that a guy like Paul could be completely dedicated to Christ, so much so that he would start 20 churches and that he would even write scripture. But Pastor, I could never be like that. I don't have what it takes. I'm just not capable of that. I'm not Paul the Apostle. But I want you to know this. Every person under the sound of my voice today who's a believer, every Christian who has accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, hear me, has the capacity to just go do it, to just go out and live this victorious Christian life. And here's why. Every Christian has the very same position that Paul had. He said, I am crucified with Christ. I'm crucified. That phrase there, by the way, is in the perfect tense in the Greek language, and it refers to a once-for-all action that never has to be repeated. In other words, Paul was saying, I was crucified when Jesus was crucified, and that crucifixion was a one-time-for-all-time experience. I was crucified, and I stand crucified. You say, Pastor, what does it mean for us today? Well, listen, if you're saved, then when Jesus died on the cross for your sins, we died to our sins. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, Paul said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So he's saying there, you know, we as believers, because Christ is in us, we don't have to be servants to sin. We can effectively serve our Savior because of our position. See, we are crucified with Christ also. But let me make a statement if I can. This is important. Being that crucifixion was a once-for-all experience, and obviously it is what we are, yet the fact is Christians who want to live the victorious Christian life must determine to die daily. We must do that. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 30 and 31, Paul said, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, I die daily. You know what he was saying there? He was saying, yes, I'm in danger of dying on a daily basis because of all the peril I'm going through. And Paul did face a lot of peril. But he also wanted us to know that I die daily to my affections and my desires. I die daily to the laziness of my flesh and to my own personal preferences. I die daily to my own will and to the will of others. I am crucified with Christ. I belong to Jesus, and I die daily. And what he was saying there is that as a Christian, I have the ability to live unto righteousness. See, Paul wasn't a super Christian. You know, he didn't have some kind of a super Christian hero gene in his mind. He wasn't like that. He was like us. He had the same kind of flesh that we have, which wants to be pampered all the time. Paul had the same kinds of desires that we have sometimes, to be served by others. Paul had the same kind of ambitions like we have and had the same kind of things. But listen, please, Paul took all those things, he put them in a basket, and he died to them. He treated those things as dead. He died to ambition, died to his pride, died and woke up every day determining, I am dead to all these things and I'm alive unto God. See, Paul recognized that he was crucified with Christ and he made the conscious decision to die daily. And Christian, what about you today? Have you made the decision that as a believer, I want to live my life dead to the things of the world and alive to God? See, that's what we got to get to. See, listen, we have been crucified with Christ, but we ought to live our lives unto righteousness. Now, by the way, if you compare yourself to Michael Jordan, you might think to yourself, I can never do what he does. And that's true. And I want to tell you this also. If you think to yourself, I can live the victorious Christian life, you're wrong. Because we can't. But Christ in us can enable us to. See, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It's not in me. It is Christ who lives in me. And I want to tell you this, as believers, we can live unto righteousness. We can live victoriously because we have the same position Paul had. Christ is in us, and he's the hope of glory. Secondly today, not only does our position in Christ enable us to be victorious in our Christian life, but at the same time too, the power of Christ likewise enables us to be victorious as well. And notice, if you would, the text again, and listen to one phrase. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That phrase reminds us that not only did Jesus die on Calvary for our sins, but that he also rose again from the dead for us 3 days later. See, Jesus died in humility, that's true. The Bible even tells us so in Philippians 2. But our Savior rose in power and glory. In fact, the Bible says of Jesus in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, that he is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And because our Savior rose from the dead and because his resurrection was far different than his death, then listen, everybody who comes to Christ by faith has been changed by the gospel of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, if any man be in Christ, that's the important thing, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, he said. So the fact is, you don't have to be under the dominion of your flesh anymore. You don't have to be under the domain of sin anymore or of your flesh anymore. You're a new creature. And Paul said, hey, listen, I'm crucified with Christ, but I live for God. Nevertheless, it's not I who does it, but Christ lives in me. The power of Christ lives in me to help me be all I can be for Christ. See, again, you just can't do it on your own. It's not within you. It's not in any of us. It wasn't in Paul. Paul understood that. And listen, we can't be sold out to God on our own. We can't be a soul winner on our own. We can't be totally dedicated to Christ all on our own. We need another help. We need Jesus, and praise God, he's in us through the Holy Spirit. And because he is, because we are possessors of Christ, we are likewise possessors of his power. And I say, praise God. See, the resurrected Jesus Christ, when he lived within us, he dispensed power to us so that when we're saved, listen, death ceases to work in us, identifying us as sinners, and Christ dwells in us, giving us a new position in Christ as well as power in Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm so thankful that I don't have to do all the slam dunks on my own. Because I couldn't, I'd probably trip and kill myself. I'm so thankful I don't have to get up and preach on my own. I don't have to do anything on my own. Christ lives in me, and therefore I have the capacity, we have the capacity to be selfless, sold out servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. If he lives in us, we've got the capacity to go out and win souls, to follow Christ, and to be all we can be. What power there is in the Savior. Let me ask you a question, though. Have you experienced that power before? Does Jesus live in you? He does if you're saved. And if he does, you have access to all the power of God to do all you need to do. But let me also say this. We have power to, first of all, win souls to Christ. Because Jesus is in us. Do you remember what the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8? It tells us there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power, explosive ability, extraordinary ability, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Isn't that important? We have the power to, listen, win souls to Christ. We can do it. You say, preacher, I can never be a soul winner. You're probably right. I couldn't either. But you know what? Jesus lives in me. He can win souls. And he can impart the Holy Spirit power to help me win souls if I'll just avail myself to him. Let me also say this too. Because Christ lives in us, we have the power to overcome sin in our life. Again, sin doesn't have to dominate us. In fact, quickly turn to Romans 6 for just a moment. I want you to see something here. And for those up in the sound room, I got a little off my topic today, but that's okay. But in Romans chapter 6, look in verse 13 and 14. Paul wrote and said, neither, and here's the key, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. He's saying there, if we'll just determine to yield ourselves to the Savior as opposed to yielding ourselves to sin, then sin shall not dominate our life. See, God's Holy Spirit who lives in us, if we're saved, can give us victory over sin. Even over those life-dominating sins. See, I'm just saying here that because Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit of God, we have power to be able to not only win souls to Christ, but we likewise have power to overcome sin in our life. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I'm able to plug in to the power of God, aren't you? By the way, we not only have the ability to win souls to Christ, And to live a life that is not laden down with sin, but we likewise have the power to help the saints too. In fact, you think about Paul. Do you think Paul wrote those 13 plus 14 books of the Bible in his own power? He didn't. God's Holy Spirit moved him, the Bible says, in 1 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, he moved Paul to write those scriptures to edify the believer. And let me tell you, the same Spirit who used Paul can use us too to edify saints. We just need to avail ourselves to the mighty power of God. I'm just saying today, if we are in Christ, we have a great position, and we have likewise access to abundant power to live this life to the fullest for Christ. But there's one final thing I want us to see today. And this is so important. Not only does our position in Christ enable us to live the victorious Christian life, and not only does his power enable us to live the victorious Christian life, but finally, Paul points out that the provision of Christ enables us to live victoriously for Christ. And notice the text again, and pay particular attention, if you would, to what he says there. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Aren't you glad God provided faith for us? Now, we have saving faith, praise God. That's the initial faith. But God gives us also operational faith. To trust God. See, we, and by the way, can I tell you this? We can trust God. I mean, if God was trustworthy enough to save us, is he not trustworthy enough to help us to serve him? Amen. He certainly is. He's a trustworthy God. He is a dependable God. We can trust Him for everything in our life. And I want to tell you this. When the day we got saved, God granted us faith for salvation and faith for sanctification as well. He's a trustworthy God. I'm glad He gave that to us. But I want you to pay particular attention to one final phrase. And we don't want to miss this. In fact, we need to be willing to make the sacrifice to live for God. And notice the phrase. Again, He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Notice this. Who loved me and gave Himself for me. Wasn't that sacrificial? Jesus loved us so much that He sacrificed His whole life for us, to help us. And I want you to hear this. Don't miss this. If we as believers have any hope of living a sold-out life, living a victorious life, living a life that is willing to serve others and to edify saints and to win lost souls and to be involved in the work of God, if we have any hope in that, it's going to take sacrifice on our part. It's going to say, Lord, I surrender all. I surrender my ambitions. I surrender my preferences. I surrender my own will and my own aspirations. Lord, I surrender all. And I think Paul said it best when he wrote a verse that we quote a lot around here, Romans 12, verse 1. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a half-hearted sacrifice. No. A living sacrifice. You know what the point was? God's not looking for a dead sacrifice in us. He wants us to give Him everything. Lord, this is your life, it's not mine. Lord, you live in me. This is your life. So I willingly take all that I am and all that I have and I lay it at your feet. Now, Lord, I do that today. Please use me. People who do that, go and do it. People who are sort of half-hearted get excited initially, but they put those sermons away in the dustbin of their minds. God wants Christians to go do it. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you've not ever placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to know this. God loves you so much that He let Jesus die for you. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In a moment, we're going to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. Those listening at home, my phone number's on your screen. Call us if we can help you. We want you to know Christ as your Savior. And if you'll trust Him, He'll save your soul. What about you today that are in this auditorium? Have you put your personal faith and trust in Christ? Maybe you haven't. The good news is, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. In a moment when the invitation begins, when the piano begins to play, I'm going to invite you to walk up the aisle and let us take the scriptures and show you from the Bible how you can go to heaven. Please do that. Christian, what about you? Have you laid your all on the altar to be able to serve God? As the music begins to play in a moment, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar and surrender all. Let's bow for prayer.